What is your thermostat? This is Dr. Herbert Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. What is your thermostat? Well, here at the University of Healing, we have one thermostat. You say, well, what about all the buildings and all the furnaces and all the heaters and coolers and things? Don't they have thermostats too? No. There's only one thermostat here. Oh, well, thank you. That's very thoughtful of you. There's only one thermostat here, and that thermostat is Ellen. And it's spelled B-O-S-S, or C-H-E-F, or G-O-D, or Commander-in-Chief, or whatever you want to say. In any organization, there can only be one Commander-in-Chief. Now, and that is Ellen. And her son agrees. And her stepson agrees, too. Rex and Love both. Now, what does it mean to be the Commander-in-Chief? What does it mean to be the chef in charge of all of the thermostats? What's that? That's what it means? I don't know what you're pointing to.
I talked to him.
The chef is talking to one of her lackeys, telling the lackey to be quiet. And this lackey happens to be Love, her beloved child. And her beloved child doesn't always pay attention. Her beloved child has other things that cause it to respond, like rabbits or squirrels or cats or other things, birds too. This morning, I had a dream. And in the dream, it was a very unimportant dream, but in the dream, I was walking with Rex. And Rex had been out bringing me different things, rabbits and squirrels and things. And he brought me, at last, a very beautiful bird. And the bird was still very much alive, very happy, and very content in Rex's mouth being carried around. And Rex brought it over to me and showed it to me, and he said, "Isn't this a lovely bird?" I said, "Sure is." I said, "Are you planning to give it to me, or what do you want to do? It's your bird, you know, you caught it." He said, "Well, I'm a retriever, and I'm supposed to retrieve it alive, and I'm supposed to give it to you after I retrieve it." I said, "Yes, that's true." And I said, "Do you always do that?" He says, "Well, not always, but I'm willing to start now." And I said, "That's just fine." So he gave me the little bird. It had the most beautiful colors on it, red, pink, and blue, and orange, and yellow, and every color you can imagine, green. I thought, where in the world did you get a bird that's got so many colors on it? Just a little guy, too, maybe no more than a fistful. And so he handed it to me, and I put him in my hand, and I said, "You want to fly away, or you want to stay here and be with me today?" And he said, "Anyway is the way that I want to do it, as long as it's your way." So I said, "Okay, I'm going to put you on this branch here, and you can get your breath and then fly away." Well, we came back to the branch at noon on another walk, and there was that bird sitting there. And I said to the bird, "Why are you sitting here?" And he said, "Well, I can't fly." And I said, "Is it you can't fly because you're missing something, or your muscles aren't coordinated, or you have a bad attitude? What's the reason that you can't fly?" He said, "Well, my body is perfect." He said, "I just can't fly." And I said, "Well, I guess we have to give you some flying lessons then." So I began to give the little bird flying lessons. And I said, "Before you can fly, you have to learn to walk." Now, birds perhaps jump out of the nest and fly instantly. But what did I say birds do? They jump out of the nest. In other words, they have to learn to walk first. They have to learn to walk to the edge of the nest and jump over the edge. and they have to learn to walk around the nest and pick up food in the nest. They have to do all those things. Well, birds don't learn to walk first. Yes, they do. You see, you're so accustomed to thinking birds fly, and that's all they do. Well, we watched a roadrunner the other day, didn't we, Heinz? And we were cruising along the road, and zoom, this roadrunner runs across the road in front of the car. And why didn't he fly? He could fly, and he could go above danger, you know, but he likes to road run in the road. And so he was road running in the road, just having a good time. Well, I said to the colorful bird, I said, it seems as though your primary problem is that you have an attitude that you don't know how to fly. Now, how did you get that attitude? And he said, well, my brothers and sisters all jumped right out of the nest, and they flew and flew and flew, and they said, ha ha, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. And somehow I just was afraid to do it. And I said, well, you know, sometimes words like you can't do it just make us feel that we can't do it. And so when you go to an organization and you are acting in the organization, you have to become accustomed to the fact that either a man, a woman, a child, a robot, something's going to run that organization. And you have to work along with that, whatever it is that's running the organization. Now, our colorful bird was listening to its brothers and sisters, and its brothers and sisters were not very kind to it, because it was the more pretty bird of the flock, of the nest, and it was the more beautiful bird, and it was given special attention by its mother and father, and ate a little more than it should have eaten, you know, so it was a little heavy and didn't jump out of the nest as lightly as the other birds did, and so it was at a disadvantage because it was pampered. It was at a disadvantage because it wasn't treated right. Well, I said, okay, bird, you come along with me. And so I took the bird home. And I put him up on my counter, and I said, bird, you're going to eat what I give you, because it's all you're going to have to eat. And so I put him in a little bird cage, and I fed him a minimum amount of food. And it was no time at all, and we had his weight down to normal. And he was a sprightly young fellow, because he's still a very young fellow. And as a sprightly young fellow, he just was prancing around so proud and so happy. And so I left the gate open on the cage there, and he came marching out of there like he belonged, and he didn't realize that the edge of the counter was the edge of the counter. So he was prancing along, just marching along, and came to the edge of the counter, and whoops, there's no more counter. And he fell right straight down, and he decided, now's the time to fly, if there ever was a time. And so he starts fluttering his wings, and believe it or not, he flew. He just flew, and he was so beautiful because all of his feathers were just spread out in beautiful colors. And Rex came in the room just at that moment, and Rex says, my God, you're a beautiful bird. And the bird says, thank you, Rex, I am. And thank you, Rex, for bringing me into your home and learning me how to fly. And Rex says, I didn't teach you. And then the bird turned to me and said, well, thank you for teaching me. And I said, I didn't teach you. And the bird said, well, who taught me? And I said, you taught yourself. You just did what came naturally. You just fell off the edge of the nest, but you forgot that it was at the edge of the nest. And you had to do something, so you flew. But all that I did do was get you out of the habit of being pampered, out of the habit of having more food than you knew what to do with, out of the habit of having people call you bad or call you stupid or something, and into the habit of just calling yourself whatever you want to call yourself. And you chose to call yourself good. And so you flew. And the bird says, my goodness, I'm sure glad I came. Can I attend this school? And I said, no. This school is not for the birds. This school is for people. Well, I could be a people. Well, that's true. If you think that you can sit through our lectures and pay attention, not fall asleep, then you can do it. He said, oh, I'll do that. Well, come time to sit through a lecture, and after about 2 or 3 minutes of sitting through the lecture, his attention was called to all sorts of other places, and before you knew it, he wasn't there anymore. He was flying out the window. He was flying here and flying there, doing this and doing that. What birds do, you know? And he forgot all about the school and all about the lectures, but he never forgot that if you overeat, you can't fly. And that's the only reason you can't fly, is because you overeat. And people who have dreams and desires and goals, if they overindulge, they cannot carry out those dreams. Not because they haven't the ability, but they have put different causes in motion. Now, the cause in motion, I won't use John as an example on this one here, but we'll take Ingeborg. So, Ingeborg is driving her car. And so, Ingeborg stops to the side of the road to see somebody in a problem. And the man says, "Lady, can you drive a truck?" And Ingeborg says, "I've never driven one." He says, "Well, lady, I just had a heart attack, and I can't drive this truck. Will you drive me to the nearest hospital?" "Well, get in my car." "Lady, I can't get out of this truck." "Well, I've never driven a truck." "Lady, if you've never driven one, now is the time to do it." So Ingeborg gets in there and says, "What do you do?" And screech, squash, whoosh, whoosh, you know, the gears, and trying to get them to all work. And the guy said, "Just go forward, get to the hospital. The city's not far ahead, you know." And so Ingeborg gets him in there, and she tests the brakes occasionally so she knows how to use them. And when she gets to the hospital parking lot, she's so thankful, she slams on the brakes and the truck goes, "Rah, rah," you know. And the guy says, "Don't kill me before I get there," you know. And so the medics come rushing out and take the guy out of the truck and take him in. And now Ingeborg says, "My God, I never thought I could do that. I never thought I could drive a big semi-truck." As I say, John would never say that. You say to John, "Ever flown an airplane?" "Nope." "Well, John, now's the time to fly." "Fly or die." And so John flies. And John knows that if he becomes frightened, he becomes useless to himself, that he cannot fly. But if he becomes just peaceful and just does what comes naturally, then everything is great. So John said, "I talked to Ellen, and Ellen taught me that when you're flying, if everything goes wrong and you're coming into the airport, let go of everything, it'll land itself. Turn off the power, turn off everything, and it'll just land itself and glide right in and make a perfect landing." It will. But people's fear won't let them do that. They don't think a mechanical gadget will do that, but they're designed to do that. And so John does that, and it lands perfectly. Now, you see, inside of each one of us, we have a rheostat, we have a thermostat, we have a gadget that directs us in whatever we're doing. It directs us in the heat of our body, in the heat of our mind, in the heat of our activities, in the heat of our house, in the heat of our car, and very interesting. Now, we can learn to cooperate with our thermostat and have a very harmonious, comfortable living. But if we start thinking that everybody's going to go turn the thermostat up, everybody's going to turn the thermostat down, everybody's going to turn it in and turn it out, and by the time you're done, nobody knows what's going on in that thermostat. Nobody can see it. As I go into the video room and I go over to the thermostat and I turn it off, because we certainly don't need air conditioning in there in the evening, and I turn it off. And the minute I go in there and turn it off, somebody else comes in and goes and adjusts it. Somebody else comes in and goes and adjusts it. And somebody else, everybody comes in and wants to adjust that thing. And it's already turned off completely. Pop, pop, pop. And everybody's got to check it to make sure it's turned off or do this or do that. And really, there can only be one boss. And whoever is the boss is the one who takes responsibility. Now, If you're going to take responsibility for your world and your job and your activities and your life, that's great. But if you're not, if you're going to come to campus here for us, whatever Ellen says is what we do. Ellen even tells me what to do. And I do whatever it is that Ellen says. And then the difficulty, Ellen says to you, wash the floor or clean the windows or put out the gist, and you understand that. But Ellen tells me that I should do what she wants me to do, and I say, okay, I will do what you want me to do, but are you ready for the consequences? And she says, well, what do you mean, what are the consequences? Are you ready for the consequences of following the rules? Are you ready for the consequences of following what is right and wrong, the principle? Are you ready for living up to principle? Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay. But then we don't do it. We don't live up to principle. What we do is we look at expediency, and expediency so often gets us in trouble. And so then we have to backtrack and explain ourselves. And when we have to backtrack and explain ourselves, it takes all the joy out of living and all the joy out of anything. So if all of us were just to recognize that here on campus there's one boss, that's Ellen, she tells us what to do. I may be your spiritual friend or a spiritual counselor or spiritual whatever, but Ellen is the total works for how the organization runs here. And so if you have any questions, you go to Ellen. If you want anything, you go to Ellen. If you need anything, you go to Ellen. If you come to me, you are coming to the outhouse. If you're going to Ellen, you're going to the Oval Office. You're going right to the president. But Herb, you're the president. Titles are titles, aren't they? She's the boss. What title does Ellen have? CEO. Chief Executive Officer. What title does Herb have? C-U-B. C-U-B, the cub, you know. What title does Herb have? The cleanup boy. Yeah. And really, that's what I do. Wherever there's a problem, I end up balancing it out and cleaning it up and putting it to right. I won't put it straight to right. I put it to right step by step so that it won't be a wasted cause. It'll be a learned lesson. But it'll be fun. Now, just remember, when you go into the video room and you're going to watch a show, there's one person who knows how to set the thermostat. And I haven't met them yet, but there's one person who knows how to set the thermostat. And they should take care of it. And if Sylvia's making eggs in the morning, there's one person who makes eggs in the morning, that's Sylvia. And if John comes along and says, Sylvia says, John, you want to make your own egg? And John says, love it. So he goes over there and he makes the most glorified, beautiful egg that Sylvia ever saw. And Sylvia said, John, you have to be the cook of these eggs. And John says, when I do it for myself, I'm very good. When I do it for others, I'm a little sloppy. Sometimes. So we have to be real careful what sort of thing we get ourselves tied up with. Sylvia's the egg maker. Ingeborg's the table setter. Heinz is the eater. John's the eater. I'm the eater. Ellen is the guide to make sure everything falls into place. And Button and Rex and Love and Magic and Spot and Blackie, they're the ones who would love to have attention. But the thermostat's only got enough variableness to handle the people. Are you ready? Are you ready? Ingeborg, could you drive that semi-truck? You can say yes. She shakes her head, yes, you know, and no one hears it on the tape here. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
I couldn't drive it.
Super!
Because there's a guy next to me and he can tell me everything I have to can do.
That's nice, as long as he's conscious. That's nice. That's great. And you're right, Ingeborg, except you made one little error there. There's a guy inside of you who can tell you exactly how to do it. Not beside you, but inside you.
Yes.
That's a good way to have it. Very good way to have it. You're a genius. Okay. Have a lovely morning and do beautiful things today. And I would like each of you to make a little statement with me. And the statement is that our internet connection is secure and stable and in and capable. Okay? So that we have that to use today. Not that it makes a lot of difference. Because what we have learned, John, what we have learned, Heinz, what we have learned, Ellen, what we have learned, Sylvia, yeah, what we have learned, Herb, is that life is a bowl of cherries. And there are no pits in those cherries. So, enjoy. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.